Cruise Team and our song leaders and what they do, but particularly during this series, I noticed that our songs most weeks are centered around the word that we're studying. Not all the songs, of course, that we sing, all the hymns are, we can find match up with the topics that we're discussing, but many times they do. And so as we sing these songs, again, all of our songs this morning were centered around hope, and that is the word we'll be discussing during our lesson time. And it does help us to focus our minds a little bit more. It's all fits together like that, coordinated like that. Appreciate that very much. This evening at 6 o'clock, we meet again. We will have a lesson about the silence of scriptures. You noticed that in the bulletin this morning. And the discussion of, well, if the Bible doesn't say anything about it, does that mean that that's something the church should do together or something I can do individually? Or does that mean it's prohibited? It means you shouldn't do that thing if the Bible doesn't talk about it. What do we do with the things the Bible says nothing about? And so we'll discuss that tonight, discussing the silence of Scripture, and encourage you to be back with us for that. Let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this life because you blessed us. We know that you love us. We know that you care for us. You've given us every good and perfect gift, and we're thankful. We're thankful for this morning that we have to worship. We're thankful for this beautiful day. We're thankful that your Son died for us, and he also lived for us, and he rose from the grave for us. He is seated at your right hand and has prepared a place for us. And because he did so much for us, we can have access to that place called heaven. We know that we sin and fall short of your will, and we pray that you forgive us. We know that Satan is active and influencing us every day and tempting us, and we pray that we can see that way of escape that you will give us. Now, there's always the right thing to do. There's always a way to avoid those temptations, and we pray that we can see those and follow that path. We know we live in a lost and dying world. Help us to be bright light. Help us to be salt. Help us to share the gospel with those who are lost. Bless our study this morning, and may your word open our hearts and minds, and may we conform our lives to Christ and be more like him every day. Have your word to shape us in that way. Continue to bless this congregation as we strive to do your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are discussing hope this morning. And as we do every week, we have to define the term. Make sure we know exactly what we are talking about when we say hope. Well, in both Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are talking about something really defined the same way. Again, the words are different, but the same concept is involved. It's basically, again, about an expectation of the future. That's how you understand hope. That's how I understand hope. All hope is waiting. We understand that it's about something in the future that we're going to receive. We're thinking about something out there in the future. And we're excited about it. Hope has an excitement to it. Hope has a longing to it. So hope does have the component of waiting. But not all waiting is hopeful. Some people live their lives and thinking of the future and being very depressed about it, being very fearful about the future. And they're waiting for something, something terrible to happen. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, but something bad is going to happen. It may be an unscheduled event. It may be a scheduled event. It may be just whatever somebody can think of. And so those people are waiting for something bad to happen. But hope is about waiting, but it's about waiting for something good to happen. To see it out there in the future. And say, I'm waiting and I'm patient because I know that good is going to come my way. Christians, of course, our hope is not a maybe. Our hope is not, well, it might happen. Well, I wish it'll happen. Wish very different than hope. With a wish, there's no expectation of anything. Wish is just, it may or may not happen, I don't know. For a Christian, hope is not a maybe, it's not a wish. It is a confident expectation. Christians have a confident expectation that we will be saved. When you read the Apostle Paul, when you read Peter, when you read their sermons, when you see what they did on a daily basis, they would have said those things or done those things if they thought heaven was a wish, was a maybe, was a, well, I don't know. Because if their faith was shaken, even in the slightest, why would they go through so much persecution? Why would they travel so far? Why would they go so long without food? Why would they have to endure all the things that they endured if they had the slightest doubt that they were not going to be rewarded one day? Or that they would be rewarded one day. That's why Paul said, I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. See, that's hope. That's a confident expectation. Paul didn't say, fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and I don't know what's going to happen later. God might do something for me down the road, and he might not. I just don't know. That's not what he said. He had a confident expectation of the future. He said, I know the Lord is going to reward me. I am confident in that. I believe every word Jesus said. I know he didn't sin, therefore he didn't lie. And when he said that he's going to prepare a place for me, I believed him. That's hope. Heaven is not today. We don't see it. We're not living in it. It's the future. The blessing that we may have from God, we may not have a blessing today, but it may be tomorrow. On a daily, but not even thinking about heaven, just think of our daily activities. I mean, you know, the Lord isn't blessing me the way that I want him to bless me today, but a hopeful Christian says, you know, he blessed me in the future. I mean, in the past, I know he's going to do it in the future. That's why the prophets all the time in the Old Testament said, remember when God brought you out of Egypt. He had to keep reminding them of that. Why? He said, when you think of the future, remember what God did in the past. Be hopeful about the future. Don't say, well, God really blessed me in the past, but I don't know if he's going to do it again. I may have used up all my blessings from God. God had a little container of blessings for me, and he's already used them all, and from now on, there's just nothing left. He's going to ignore me. He's not going to lift a finger for me from here on out. I've lived 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. That's all I get. The prophets always had to tell the people, if God did it in the past, he's going to do it in the future. He may do it a different way. He may do it to a different measure, but God is not going to forget you. God is not going to leave you. Look at what he did in the past. There's so many examples of hope that we can look at and compare to the biblical examples of hope. And how we live this life and things we do and how we can understand hope a little better. Just think of a man who's been sentenced to 10 years in prison. But he knows that 10 years from now he's going to get out of prison and he's going to have freedom again. How does he think, how does he act during those 10 years when he's not living the way he would want to live? He's not getting to eat what he wants to eat. He's not getting to sleep when he wants to sleep. He's not doing any of those things that he wants to do. Life is not good for him. But he can look out in the future and say, but there's a day on the calendar when I'm going to get out of here. I think at times we see life that way. But some people look at it and say, you know what, I wish I wish the world were different. And I'm living in this world, I see cancer, and I see disease, and I see heartache and tragedies. But some people look at it and say, there's nothing beyond this for me. There's no blessing beyond this. Life's never going to get better. There's not even, I don't even think I'm going to heaven. Now, a man in prison who was having a 10-year sentence, you would look at that person and say, well, it's always going to be like this. He says, no. It's not always going to be like this. There's a day on the calendar, I'm out. I may have to endure this for 10 years, but then it's going to stop. Isn't that the message of Revelation? When writing to persecuted Christians saying, you know, right now it's not any good. Right now you are in a situation where you are persecuted, where the emperor is saying that he's a god and expects all the Roman citizens and everyone in Rome to worship him that way. And you believe in the true God. You know that you've had to move away from your home. You know you've had to go to prison. You know all these things happen. But guess what? This will not go on forever. You have to remain faithful. And if you remain faithful, you'll never see any of this again. It will stop. There will be an end. That's why it's a shame when a Christian would say, you know, it's not going to get any better. God's never going to bless me again, and I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. Imagine how that hurts God for all that he did for you not to feel that way. Sending his son, dying on the cross. And you say, I don't think he cares anymore. The future's really bleak. The kindergarten teacher was having a bad day. It was raining outside, like we've had a lot of rain recently, and the children couldn't go out to recess. So she had to do something in the room, and as the day went on, as the case of days like that in kindergarten, the kids got louder and louder, and they were fussing and fighting over this and that, and just couldn't get things settled, and she was getting more frustrated, and just staring at the clock, waiting for the end of the day, and finally got to a point where she could get the kids ready for dismissal, and it was still raining, so she got all the clothes out, the raincoats and everything, and tries to get all the children prepared just right. And she got down to the last little boy, and she's trying to get his boots on his feet. And she's just at her wit's end, and she is fighting those boots. There are no laces. It's just one of those rain boots you just get on or off. And she's trying to get his foot in there and fighting and fighting. Finally, she gets those boots on, and the little boy looked up at her and said, Miss Smith, those aren't my boots. So now she's really happy. Well, she's got to get those boots off. And so she's fighting again. They barely fit. They're just glued on there. So she's pulling and tugging, and he's getting restless, and she's getting more upset. Finally, pulls those boots off. She's exhausted. And he said, Miss Smith, those are my sister's boots. I'm really glad she let me wear them today. We can feel that way about life. We can fight and claw and everything is wrong and nothing's working out just right. But we all know once she figured out the boot problem with the child, that day did end. It ended. For all the frustrations and all the headaches and all the things, and 10 years from now, she probably wouldn't even remember that situation. We can think about Manny and Louie Zapparini. You may have seen the movie Unbroken. Came out, I believe, last year, year before. He was a pilot in World War II, got shot down, and he and two of his friends, and Phil and Mac, were stranded in the Pacific Ocean. And they were floating on a raft for, I believe, a few weeks, just trying to survive. They were all experiencing the same situation. All three had the same amount of food, all three were floating on the same raft, all three were feeling the same amount of heat from the sun. All three were living the same situation. The only difference was, is that Louis and Phil knew they were going to get saved. They felt like they would have provisions, that somebody somewhere was going to come along and rescue them. Mac didn't feel that way. Mac thought, we're dead. Will somebody come along and it'll be the Japanese and they'll capture us and they'll kill us? Well, Louis and Phil lived. The two that said we're going to live, the two that said we're going to make it, the two that said this will end well, survived. Mac died in the ocean. They were captured by the Japanese. They were tortured by the Japanese. And Louis lived. Two had hope. One did not. Two survived. One did not. Our very attitude, the way we see the future, affects our health. It affects our relationships. It affects how we see the world, how we see our neighbors, how we see God. What does the Bible say about hope? Well, Christianity, the great thing, one of the many great things about Christianity, it removes spiritual pessimism and replaced it with a confident expectation of future blessing. Without Christianity, without Jesus coming to this earth, what hope do people have? We would be like atheists. We would just believe that this is it. There's nothing better. Live for today. Tomorrow we die. Do whatever it takes to just get through the day. Live your life however you want to live it. Christianity came along. Jesus came and died on the cross. And so now we don't have that pessimism. Now we have that confident expectation. A lot of people live their life in the way that Job thought of things after his world came crashing down and everything was taken from him. In Job 17, verse 15, Job says, "Where now is my hope, and who regards my hope?" There are a lot of people today, millions of people, who see the world that way. See, Job's saying two things right there. He said, "I don't have anything to hope for, and nobody cares that I don't have anything to hope for. Where now is my hope, and who regards my hope?" Who cares? Who's putting something in the future for me? That's the theme of a lot of people's lives. I don't have anything to hope for, and nobody cares. And of course, we know why Job was saying these things. He was saying them because he was in a tragic situation. And we can understand why he asked these questions. We can understand why he said this. And when you have these feelings, when times are difficult, we sympathize. It's not a criticism. It's not a bad thing to say, "I feel bad about this. I'm crying about this. I feel upset about this." Hope is not saying that every day is great. Every day is going to be wonderful. There's no problems anymore. Hope is saying this is going to end. God is going to continue to bless me, because I know He did in the past. This is not going to keep going like this. Tomorrow is a new day. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Each day is enough trouble of its own. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that you probably know very well. You know any verse from Jeremiah, you probably know this one. You see this on cards, you see this maybe even on bumper stickers, on signs. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." A lot of people are very inspired by that verse. I give you hope. I have plans for your life. But you know, when this was said, the context of this verse was when the people were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Captivity that God said was going to happen if they continued down a path of idolatry. And Jeremiah told them it was going to happen. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, was going to come. You've got to change. They didn't, and they were carried away into exile. And this was the message given to those who were in that 70-year period of exile. Guess what? It's going to get better. I have a plan for your life. Plans for welfare, meaning sustenance, necessity, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. This was said during captivity. It's going to get better. What do we do in the meantime? What do we do in the here and now while things are difficult, while things are strained? Well, the Bible talks about judgment. The Bible talks about the Lord coming back. The Bible talks about the end of this world and does talk about what we do in the meantime. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was talking about the end of the world. It says, look, everything's going to be destroyed with intense heat. The Lord is coming back. And then he asked the question, he said, what type of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Since that is going to happen, you know that's in the future. And because of that, you should live a certain way. That fact should shape how you live your life. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul was writing to the Thessalonians at the end of that book. There are several things that he says just about one verse after another, seeming to be different from one another. But he's talking about, again, the end of the world, when the Lord comes back like a thief in the night. He says, beginning of verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. What do you do in the meantime? What do you do before that future blessing? What do you do today? He said you encourage each other. You keep building each other up. Helping one another through the time of difficulty. Reminding people that there is going to be a judgment. And we need to live as people who understand that. He said, what did he say? Live as people of the day. We're awake. Our eyes are open. We know what's going to happen in the future in that regard. So act like it. Romans 12:12, another chapter that's sort of verse by verse. Paul is talking about different things and very practical ways of living. And he says there, talking about the future, he says that we rejoice in hope, persevere in tribulation, and we're devoted to prayer. I mean, isn't that a threefold recipe, a threefold standard for which to live every day when you are experiencing difficulty? Rejoicing in hope. Not rejoicing in the tribulation, not rejoicing in the sadness or the grief or those types of things. He says, look, think of what's coming in the future. Rejoice in that. Persevering in tribulation. Doing what you can do to get through that tribulation. All the while, do what? Devoted to prayer. We know what he said back in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you pray without ceasing, everything deserves prayer. Rejoice, hope, persevere in tribulation, be devoted to prayer. Peter said, what kind of people ought you to be since there's going to be a judgment? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians. He says, keep encouraging each other while you see the judgment coming. Paul says in Romans 12, rejoice in the hope. Persevere in the tribulation. Devote yourselves to prayer. God hasn't forgotten anybody. If you believe that God made the world, then it's not so much of a stretch to think that He still knows who you are and cares about you. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe God made the world, but He doesn't care about me. I believe God made the world, but I don't think He knows who I am. I don't think He has any plans for me. I don't think He has any purpose for me. I'm just out here by myself, and I think He really cares a lot about these other people. He didn't forget them, but He forgot me. God doesn't forget. If you believe God made the world, I'm quite certain that He still knows who you are. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He wouldn't do that and then leave you alone. We also have to remember God is working for you. Romans 8:28 tells us that. God is causing all things to work together for good. For those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. God doesn't stop caring about you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not going to stop working for you. We call that the providence of God, how God works in the lives of people today. That your prayers matter. That God does hear your prayers. That there's an effect, there's a change that happens in your life. And be conscious and always see by praying for others. We've said before, how many times have you been blessed in life? How many times have you gotten through a tribulation because somebody else prayed for you? We always think about our own prayers. God only blesses me to the extent that I pray about certain things in my life. Have you ever thought that God has worked something out for you because somebody else prayed for you? Of course that's happened. That's why we need to pray for others. That's why we need to think about what they're going through, the lives they're living. And say, I know somebody has blessed me because of their prayers, so I'm sure that I can bless someone else that way as well. God has not forgotten you. God is continuing to work for you. The future is bright. Never times it doesn't seem that way. Things pile on one another. Murphy's Law comes into your life. What can go wrong will go wrong. Nothing's ever going to change. But it will. You read back in the Old Testament of so many times when there was war. So many times when there was death to an incredible degree, things that we've never experienced, things that we've never seen. Tremendous tragedy. You know, all the things that David went through, and being chased by Saul, and the personal problems that he had, and the great victory he had over Goliath, and that roller coaster life that David led. When you see all those things, you can see why somebody in that era would be hopeless. I can't live this life anymore. And I think the Psalm 71 is probably the most hopeful psalm or chapter in the Bible. Because in this one chapter, as we read it to end the lesson, notice that the writer, notice the psalmist here, explains how heavy his life is, how difficult things are, but at the very same time talking about the great hope he has that God will save him. That God is active in his life, that God has not forgotten. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in a time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him. For there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Be as for me, I will hope continually. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. For I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. He says, there are people out there who get together and they point at me. And they say, nobody's going to help him. They're out to get me. Pursue him and seize him. And so he says, oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, hasten to my help. He knows that God will do that. He knows that God will strengthen him. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you have hope? You have a confident expectation that God is not only going to bless you tomorrow, if there be a tomorrow, but God is going to bless you eternally in heaven. God is never going to forget you. God is always going to work for you. God is always going to love you, as he said, Paul said in Romans chapter 8. If you're not a Christian this morning, we encourage you to become a Christian by putting on Christ and baptism. By repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, I love to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Any prayers this morning, we can also pray with you. We can help you in that way and try to encourage you and give you some hope. Instead of that pessimism, replace it with a confident expectation that God loves you, God is working for you, God will bless your life. And that these things that you're experiencing now will end. Whatever your need is, please come while we stand and sing.